Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Thank you for being here tonight. I'm telling you, I'm prayed up, excited, thrilled for what God has laid on my heart tonight. Melanie did a great job the last two services talking about the importance of words. And I've just been thinking a lot about it. I don't know. I was just talking to Brent before service tonight. Isn't it important that we sit under the anointing of the word, that we hear the anointed word, not just here, but I'm talking about on a daily basis, that makes a change in how we act and how we operate and how we're looking to Him for life and life abundant, not people, circumstances, or situations. We're looking to Him. Years ago, I heard a statement that just changed the way I operated. I mentioned it on Sunday. I've mentioned it to our CMA chapel when I was speaking there this last week. And so this statement just changed so much of how I operated. And it's a real simple statement. It says, your actions follow your expectations. And it's not every once in a while, it's every time. Your actions follow your expectations. And let me just add a couple of statements onto this. Your words will tell what you're expecting. Number one, you can either help set your expectation with your words, or number two, you can let your words come out of your mouth as a response to your expectations. But either way, your expectations dictate what's coming out of your mouth, and what comes out of your mouth dictates your expectations. Now, that may be kind of deep, but I want that to soak in for a second because that's what I want to visit about tonight and get some scripture to help us with this. Everyone here is expecting something this Christmas. Some of y'all are at a season of life where you're expecting that your mom and dad will bring me what I asked for. Have you ever made a list for Christmas for someone? Now I hear they have a list that you can put on Amazon or social media or somewhere, and they can go and just click things off. Here's what I'm expecting for my list. And I'm like, wow, that would have been nice when I was a kid. Just to tell everybody so they don't even get the wrong thing. They get specifically what I'm looking for. And I'm not here putting it down, but if you're filling out a list and getting that for everybody, it's because you're expecting those things. And they might even come up in conversation. I'm expecting this. So I want to talk about words tonight and how they have a key part, but I want to talk more about the expectations that words produce. How do words help set our expectation? Let's just say that that's a question in your mind. How do our words help set our expectations? Because when you start saying something long enough, you start expecting what you're saying. Well, nobody likes me. Nobody wants to be around me. And you just say that enough, and you start expecting that to be the case, and one little thing happens, and then your words sent you to a place where your expectations then came to life. You just say something long enough, and you start expecting it. It's probably going to be bad, and you start declaring calamity on your life. I don't even want to go to the doctor. It's probably going to be bad. I had a lady today in Walmart. Here we go, Walmart story. And I mean, we just walked around the corner at the same time, And she was just in this mode. Come on, everybody knows it. It's the Christmas mode when you're shopping and you're thinking about what I'm going to do, what I'm needing, what's what. And so you're sitting, and I just round the corner, and she looks up, and she goes, oh! And I said, what? And she said, oh, you know how it is. And she goes, this shopping's driving me crazy. And about that time, she turned and she hit somebody with her cart. And I was like, I'm talking about this tonight. You know, you just said it's driving you crazy, and then you drove right into somebody. Your word sent you right where you expected, and then your actions followed suit. I mean, it can't be any more simple than that. Words are setting your expectations, and your expectations are what your action is lining up with. See, words can help you get your expectations right, or they can be a result of your expectations. Did you get that? That's really the two things that you've got to get to start this whole thing off. Because if we're not speaking things in faith, then we're speaking things based on what we think will happen, not what God said will happen. Saying things because God said them produces a lot better results. I know. I've lived in both, and I still fight this, as everyone here does. Your words can be a response to what you were expecting. We've just got to make sure our expectations are correct. People talk about what they believe is going to happen, and really what happens when they start believing what's going to happen and talk about it, it circles back to them, and then next thing you know, you're heading the direction of what you just said you were expecting. I think that's one of the reasons people like vacation so much, because then you start talking about the vacation and your expectations, then you have a hope in, I'm going to get happy at some point, although I've seen a lot of people get to vacation and then they're not happy. What happened? They just had an expectation to get there. They forgot the expectation they need to have while they're there. Now, Proverbs, let's get some scripture. Proverbs 18, verse 19. If you have your Bibles, you can look that up. We're working on some things, some new additions to our media, so I don't have the words on the screen tonight, so you'll have to resort to your Bible. Isn't that sad? It's a great thing. Proverbs 18, if you're like, well, I'm used to seeing it on the screen. Well, you can just listen to me because I'm going to read it, but if you have your Bible, want to turn there. Proverbs 18, verse 19. We're going to read through 21. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. You know what arguments are? Words. And then they set an expectation. Then it goes on verse 20. I love this. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. Is what's coming out of your mouth when you leave the conversation make you go, whew, that was awesome? Or when you leave the conversation, is your head down and you're frustrated and I don't even know how to operate now? See, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I have really worked on trying to quit saying I love to talk. But we can be okay with talking as long as what our love is centered on the Word of God and what we're talking is His words. That's the only thing. So really, you need to love the Word, and that's what needs to come out of your mouth. There's verse 20, wise words. I've got to share this because I think it was one of the most profound things that I ever studied and learned years ago, and it just impacted me in a really unique way. Wise words. Now, the word here in Proverbs, the word words, is a Hebrew word called devarim. Let me say it like I was German speaking Hebrew, devarim. That sounds kind of cool, don't it? Devarim. And it's saying that's the word right there for words. And then it adds right before that an adjective, wise words. It describes words, wise words. But the word words is devarim. Now, something really cool about the Hebrew language is they can have double meaning for one word. And that same word in Hebrew, devarim, also is a word that they use for bees. You go, what? What? Why? And here's why. In God's language, two words connect and there's not an accident behind it. It's intentional. See, bees can be sweet and they can also inflict pain. Words do the same thing. Words can bring honey or they can bring hurt. And see, I just thought that explains so much for me. I need the wisdom behind Devarim so that what comes out of my mouth produces a sweetness, not a hurt, not a pain. Now, please know this. You do too. We all do. That's very important. Words are either creating the life you're living as sweet, or it's creating the life you're living as painful. But it's all based on words and what's coming out of your mouth. Words are creating the life you're living. Matthew 12, verse 36. Matthew 12, verse 36. I want you to notice what Jesus says here. This is him speaking, and he says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified." In some of the newer translations, it says acquitted. "And by your words you will be condemned." Why is that? Because your words determine your expectancy. See, what you're expecting determines your actions. So what you are finding yourself doing in life is because your words took you there, and that either produced a great life or some consequences you didn't really want to walk into. So if you can get your words fixed, this is so simple. If you can get your words fixed, you can get your actions fixed, you can get your life fixed.
That's right. Yeah.
People won't take it that deep, but it's very simple because we just can't get it. Justified, acquitted, we're being freed from all blame, we're without guilt, we're shown and proven to be right. To acquit means to decide that someone is not guilty. You want to be acquitted, then watch what's coming out of your mouth. Condemned means to be pronounced unfit for use. Your words can make you unfit for use. By our own words, we can be free from blame and without guilt, or we can pronounce ourselves guilty and unfit for the use of God. Let me run through some quick scriptures out of Proverbs. You don't have to look these up. Proverbs 18:20. Wise words, wise devarim, satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. We read that. Proverbs 21:23. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. Boy, this really needed to be said a lot to me when I was younger. I don't know if anybody talked a lot, but it got me in a lot of trouble. Don't look at my mom, look at me. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God." I want to stop there for a second. Don't be rash with your mouth, and don't let your heart utter anything hastily before God. Be careful when you're talking to God that you don't speak your own words. You need to speak God's words to God. See, God is in heaven, it says, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And can I go on there? And it says, for a dream comes through much activity. You start doing a lot, you start dreaming a lot. And a fool's voice is known by his many words. Verse 6, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Ooh, does that hit anybody? Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Mark 4, verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat, started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples, however, woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown." Now, I know that is a story that everybody here's heard out of the Word, but really, we've heard it in our own life every day. Yeah. "Pastor, you don't even know what I'm in right now. You have no idea the storm I'm in." And many are right here, and they're calling out to the Lord and telling him what horrible shape they're in, just like the disciples were telling Jesus. "I'm in a horrible shape, Jesus." Like, he doesn't know, but he's sleeping while they're in horrible shape. What does he say? Mark 4, verse 39. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Silence, be still, or peace, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. He rebuked the wind. Boy, there's so much here. But let me just stay for a second. Well, God's the one that's in charge of all the weather. Well, he wasn't this day. Because Jesus wouldn't be rebuking God. He rebuked the weather. He rebuked it. That's why every time there's a storm or a tornado or something that looks like it's heading this way, God's people ought to be standing out there rebuking with their words. Rebuke the wind. The word rebuke. I want you to know this. This is a big deal. It changed some of my thinking of mine. The word rebuke in the Greek is epitomeo. Epitomeo. That word is a two-part word in the Greek, and the first three letters, E-T-I, in Greek means superimpose. Superimpose. And the last part, tomeo, means to fix evaluation upon. So when you rebuke something, what you're doing is you're getting set up to change what was happening to something that needed to happen. Jesus stepped up on the boat, and here's what he did. He fixed an evaluation on what was going on. And then he superimposed what needed to be going on. So he fixed an evaluation. So he rebuked by knowing what was happening that wasn't in line with what they were in need to get them where they needed to go. And he superimposed what he was seeing was needed. And how'd he do it? With the power of the spoken word. Silence. Quiet. Be still. He superimposed quiet and stillness on what he evaluated. Boy, his evaluation was storm and waves, but peace and stillness was what needed to happen. And so as soon as you evaluate something that's not in line with what God's promises are, your words need to be rebuking, superimposing something different there. You set yourself up for that. The power of the spoken word, he said, peace. Now I want you to get this, because as I was studying this and I've preached this message, I've talked about things, God just said, Ashley, you got to see this. And I was like, oh, wow. And the more I've studied this, the more I'm like, this is amazing. The disciples' words. What were the disciples' words? Master, do you not care that we're going to drown? What was Jesus' words? Peace. Stillness. Be quiet. That wasn't to the disciples. That was to what was going on. We're all guilty of what the disciples did. But see, Jesus set things in motion for us 2,000 years ago and said greater things will you guys do, because I'm leaving with you the Holy Spirit. And things are going to be good for you. And so I think a lot of times we get caught up on what's going on, but the disciples decided to blame someone. And that someone they decided to blame was the one who was living peaceful in a storm. I can't tell you how many times I have seen people place blame on someone that their lives were in peace. And they're frustrated with somebody who's in peace because their life's in a storm. That's what the disciples did. If you possess what Jesus paid for you 2,000 years ago, and you have access to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and you're careful with what comes out of your mouth, your expectation when there's a storm can be peace, be still. In fact, there are times that in the middle of a storm, such peace is on you that was on Jesus, you can sleep in that thing. Jesus was asleep and they were freaking out. Here's my question, which one do you look the most like? Are you freaking out, or are people coming to you because you're in peace saying, do you not even care about what's going on in my life? Therefore, Jesus didn't rebuke them. He cared about them and said, hey, peace, peace, be still. He fixed an evaluation and then changed an expectation. I just love it. and words changed what their actions then followed through with. The disciples' words weren't going to change anything. Jesus' words changed it. Romans 4:17, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You got to see this. He called things that are not as though they were. Life and death are in the power of the spoken word. You're only going to say what your expectations are. You start saying things like, I'm just so tired. I have no energy. Someone bring me some breath because I'm too tired to draw one. Life and death are in the power. This is just killing me. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Boy, you want to be careful about what's coming out of your mouth. You keep saying that, your expectations are lining up with it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You're only going to say what you're expecting. You start saying these things and it messes with your life. You create with your words. I know Melanie talked a lot about that, and I'm just going to keep talking about it. When you look at your life and you don't see what you're wanting to see, I'm telling you, the word of God needs to start coming out of your mouth, not your circumstances. And you keep calling what God said was yours. I've been calling for 20 years. We'll call for another day and another 20 if that's what it takes. But you keep calling because peace is yours. The things God said are yours are yours. Call finance, call health, call peace, call joy, call a good marriage, call successful kids till they come. Come on, my point here is you're going to say what you expect to see what happen, and we mess ourselves up when we start saying things that we really don't want to happen, but we're saying it anyway, and then your expectations line up and then your actions. I'm saying this every way I can. I'm saying the same thing 100 times. Blind Bartimaeus, you know who he is? In Scripture, I love his story. His expectation was to receive sight. His level of expectation can be seen in Mark 10, and his actions followed his expectations. Mark 10, let me read this, verse 46. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Someone that's expecting to be heard doesn't say it like that. And for the sake of your ears and the podcast, I'm not going to shout it that. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet! The people yelled at him. Two people are shouting. The people are yelling, shut up. And one person saying, I'm not concerned about you, I'm concerned about him. And he had his eyes where they needed to be. Be quiet. But what's it say? He only shouted louder. It says, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he obviously shouted loud enough. Jesus heard him, it stopped him, and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Jesus is calling you. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Now, how he did it, I don't know, but he headed that direction. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Like he didn't know. But he wanted this man to speak the words that was going to produce the life that he wanted. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see and he followed Jesus down the road. Immediately his level of expectation was heightened. He knew Jesus could heal him, so he had to get to Jesus. The level was so high that nobody could keep him quiet. Nobody could keep him down. Blind Bart knew that he could miss the chance if he didn't act out of his expectation. Come on, we've got to start expecting that God can still hear you and he cares about you and he wants you to have the desires of your heart, and it's only going to come through an expectation in him delivering that. Philippians 1 verse 20, for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. Paul said, my expectation, my hope will be found in Christ Jesus. I might live, I might die, but when it's all said and done, you're going to know my hope was in him. Hope means favorable and confident expectation in something. It has to do with the unforeseen future. And all of us have thoughts about what's going to be happening, not just in our world, in our family, what we're getting for Christmas. But know this, you better get your hope centered on Jesus, because he's the whole reason we're celebrating this anyway. Paul was telling the church at Rome, if you can see it, then it's not hope. Hope is seeing things as they can be. Hope is seeing things as they should be. Hope is seeing things that you should be expecting, that the power of God has made a way in your life. Come on, if you want to see blinded eyes open, you've got to have an expectation in Jesus to open those blind eyes. You want to see cancer healed? You've got to have an expectation in Jesus. We put our expectation in a doctor to do a great job. Thank God for doctors, but he's the one guiding their hands. I want to see a drug addict healed and delivered. I've got to have an expectation in Jesus. You want to see depression flee? An expectation has to be in Jesus. Come on, our church. Our church is exciting and thrilled. I understand that. I love it. But it's because we have an expectation for Jesus to move on your behalf. Some things to think about in this message, I'll just give you three of them real quick, and then I want to do something very cool tonight. Number one, deliverance from any situation, any disease, any bad circumstance, usually is experienced after you had an experience of dissatisfaction. Hear me. If there's an area of your life you are dissatisfied in, God is aware. What words are coming out of your mouth? What are you superimposing? What are you superimposing on what you just saw in this situation? It's all determined by what comes out of your mouth. Whatever comes out of your mouth is what you're trying to do. And what I'm telling you is the word epitomeo needs to be the way Christians operate. Not, God, do you not even care? That's the wrong way of talking. The right way of talking is, peace be still. Now, they went to Jesus, so we've got to go to Jesus. But it was his words that changed the situation. So why don't we start saying his words? Peace, be still. When are you going to get tired of depression? When are you going to get tired of sin? When are you going to get tired of sickness? When you get tired of the devil's lies? When you get tired of the same old every day? Come on, it's time we get the life God has called us to have. It's time for us to live the Zoe life. Jesus is prosperous. Jesus is life. Jesus is hope. Jesus is love. He is joy. He is peace. Our expectations need to be in him, not our circumstances. If you want this in your life, then just move your level of expectation past where it's at. So the number one thing that I wanted you to get about this message is, whatever it is you're dissatisfied in, you can turn this around. And you're waiting for everybody else to. Let me go on to number two. Some of us are living at the same level for so many years. We're frustrated. We're living frustrated. I got frustrated here a few months ago. Now I'm frustrated again. I keep waiting for somebody to get me out of my frustration. Don't let someone else expect for you. As pastor, I can't fix all of your problems. I would love to. I can pray for you, but you've got to change your expectation. And when you change your expectation, the words that come out of your mouth will change, and then your actions will change, and you'll watch yourself walking into something. I didn't even know this was possible. You've been trying to let everybody else expect for you. It's time that you be the one who shouts. It's time for you to be the one that's not concerned about the crowd. It's time for you to stand up and be the man or woman of faith and let God's words. It's time for you, not somebody else. It's time for you. It's time that you be the one who can't stop talking about everything that's going on good in your life with the kingdom of God. Or is every time someone talks to you, you're just, oh my gosh, it's so frustrating. It's time for you to change what you're saying. Let your words be few. Find you one word to superimpose. Peace is what I'm operating in. Health is what I... See, one word. It's time we stop coming to church with the thought of, I hope we have a good church service. If we had everybody living with some words correct and expectations, our hope wouldn't be in a service. It would be a hope in Jesus, who we walk in with, and it's going to be good. Where Jesus is, it's good. Sin's just a different way of operating in life. You need to expect the praise band to rock. Probably not the right words. Your expectations are for someone else to make the service great. You've walked in with the wrong expectation. You need to make the church great. You need to make it a... If you're letting people ruin your life in the church, then you've given people way too much control. Give that back to God. Change your expectation. Are you getting anything from this tonight? How are you doing with your level of expectation? Direct your faith with your words. Many pray all the time, if it be your will. If we'll study the word, we know what God's will is. We need to be praying, believing, and let our actions follow that belief. Direct your faith with your words. Begin to thank the Lord for the answer in advance. Come on. Just think this through. Use your words to speak life instead of death. It might seem awkward at first because we're not used to saying God's words. We've been used to saying, I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm broke, I'm poor, I'm a loser, I'm frustrated. People are so mean. But no more. I'm a child of God. That's not coming out of my mouth no more. I'm planting better seed for a good harvest and a good fruit. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'm not a naysayer. I'm a kingdom sayer. I want to end with this, and then we're going to get into what I wanted to do tonight. Speak of the devil. Have you ever heard that phrase? Speak of the devil. I haven't thought a lot about it, but I studied this a little bit, and the phrase is used to acknowledge the coincidence of someone arriving at the scene just at the same time they're being talked about. Clearly, when someone walks in the room, and the term speak of the devil is not implied by referring to the person negatively. I mean, you're not being sinister. Great, they're here now. There's the devil walked in. That's not what you're doing. But let me tell you some background on this phrase. Many people using the phrase might not be aware prior to the 20th century, the term wasn't meant lightheartedly at all. The full form of the term goes like this. Speak of the devil and he will appear. Speak of the devil, and he will appear. This is exactly what I'm talking about tonight. You start letting your words be what the devil would say. Speak of the devil, here he is. The phrase originated in England, where it was and still is more often given as talk of the devil. I don't want to walk in the room and people... I understand the speak of the devil term and the way we've changed its meaning. But I want to make sure when I walk in, people aren't like, oh, speaking of the devil, they're getting ready to. When you walk in, are you bringing life and life abundant? Because you're in the room? Tonight, I want to have some prayer time. And we're not speaking of the devil. We're speaking God's words.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.